Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Where do you hang your hammock? My acclaimed writing coach and author, Bella Maya Carter, has been called a masterclass in how to write, publish, and promote your book, The Writer's Bible, the quintessential guide to writing for both novice and experienced writers alike. Practical advice for writing and living life as a whole. Bella is a creative writing teacher, empowerment coach, worked with hundreds of writers, degrees in literature, film, and spiritual psychology, sought-after speaker, author. Her award-winning memoir, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, was named a top 10 inspirational book for 2018. Also the author of Secrets of My Sex, a collection of 71 narrative poems. Her poetry, essays, fiction, and interviews have been featured in numerous publications. Bella Mahai Carter, author of Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book, our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Bella. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Rick. I'm really happy to be here.
I've been so looking forward to talking with you. The book is really transformational for so many people, and it was for you in the beginning. How did a hammock that you received for Mother's Day years ago become the key to your personal and professional transformation? It was life-altering, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. I tell the story in the introduction to the book, and I'll tell you a condensed version right now. So 10 years ago, my husband and my daughter gave me this fabulous gift for Mother's Day. It was a hammock. But the only problem was I really didn't know where to put it. I had a decent-sized backyard, but I host events there, especially literary salons and things like that. And so I didn't want this big hammock in the middle of my backyard. And then I realized that on the side of the house, we had a tool shed that we weren't really using. It was kind of really a junk shed. And so we cleaned out the junk shed, and we demolished it, and we set up the hammock on the side of the house, and it was just perfect. It was a beautiful spot, shady tree. It was just great. And then one day, after some years of enjoying my hammock, something was different when I went out to go to my hammock. And I looked up, and I noticed that the branch that had been providing the shade to my hammock, that my neighbor had cut it down without asking us. The tree was on his side of the property, but the limb extended through a hole in the fence and provided this beautiful canopy of shade for me. So I was really angry about this. I didn't know what to do. My husband was like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. We can get a shade structure. And I said, well, no, I don't want to look at a shade structure. I want to look at the sky. I want to look at the trees. And he said, well, we'll get, you know, a tree and we'll plant it and it'll be just fine. And I said, well, it'll take forever for a tree to grow that big. You know, it's just not going to work. And so he kept coming up with these great ideas and I kept shooting them down. And I just stopped using my hammock, and then at the end of the summer, I just was pining away for my hammock, and I said, well, you know what, I'm going to just make this work somehow, and I ended up putting on some gardening gloves and pulling down a rotting redwood trellis and dragging the hammock just a few feet under a different tree, and I got into my hammock, and I looked up at the sky, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. Why hadn't I done this sooner? And the reason that I hadn't done it sooner was that my mind was fixed. I was just on my position. It was rigid. I thought it was supposed to look a certain way. And when it didn't look that way, I was completely incapacitated. And what this has to do with creative writing is that I realized that when I was on the path to publication of my memoir, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, things weren't unfolding in the ways that I expected them to unfold. And I realized that this was a perfect metaphor for the writing life, because so often we have these dreams and they just don't happen the way we think that they should. But meanwhile, there are opportunities in front of us that if we can let go of our position and think, well, it doesn't have to happen that way, maybe it can happen a different way. When we can do that, then we open ourselves to the possibility that life offers us.
You know, the book is so enlightening, receiving excellent reviews from people in all types of creative endeavors, not just writing, because there are lessons for life for people here. And you said something in an interview once, and there's so many things in here, and I'd like to just go through this. Letting go of the end result and giving myself permission to dream and play freed me. Didn't have to do things right. I held nothing back. Let's talk about end result first. We all sort of have an end result in mind, don't we, when we start a project, whether it's writing or whatever project we're starting?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that it's okay to have an idea in your mind for an end result, but I think that the blessing is to hold it lightly and to know that even though Webster's defines failure as not reaching your mark, you know, you have a goal and you don't reach it, and that's what Webster defines as failure. But when you can hold out lightly and you realize that in some ways there's no such thing as failure, there's only opportunities for growth, there's only a different perspective on something. And so maybe the idea that you had in your head wasn't supposed to work out that way. Maybe there's a different gift for you somewhere if you just look in another direction.
You know, it's interesting that the part giving yourself permission to dream, some of us think as soon as we become, I don't know, maybe even teenagers, we stop dreaming. Reality sets in. We can't dream anymore. We have to be totally focused. How did you get to the point where you gave yourself permission to dream? And you said it freed me. Once you got to that state, you were a different person.
Yeah, well, I think dreaming is very important. And I think that we're all creative beings, and I think that life itself is creative. And that when we give ourselves the permission to be in the moment and to stop planning and scheming and imagining,
yes,
you know, imagining success for ourselves, when we can just really dream about whatever it is we want to create and be with the work, that's different. I mean, and it's also okay to dream about ambition. I guess the important thing is, what is behind your dreaming? What is the energy behind it? Do you think that you need to accomplish something in order to somehow be okay in life? That was me. I mean, I was a people pleaser, and I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I was constantly jumping through hoops and achieving things because deep down I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I need to do these things to prove that I'm worthy. And what I've learned in this journey that's been painful at times is that we're all worthy. I'm not better than anyone, and I'm not less than anyone. And when I can just do my work, dream myself into my work without an undercurrent of, well, I have to prove myself because somehow I need to do outstanding things in order to deserve to exist, then that's problematic.
With us on the program, Bella Maya Carter. The book is Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. Bella, B-E-L-L-A. Mahaya is M-A-H-A-Y-A, Carter. And I give you that because her website is bellamahayacarter.com. We've got all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Information on her website. So much more information there as well. The first question in your book, and I think you just touched on that with that last answer, is who do you think you are? You call that the quintessential spiritual inquiry. Talk about that and why sometimes even as adults we struggle with that.
Well, I think it's because we live in a culture that is competitive, and that we feel like we have to prove ourselves. We do feel like we are what we do. I mean, we feel like we identify with the roles that we play. In other words, we might identify with being a parent. We might identify with being a wife or a husband. I might think that who I am has to do with my education or the house that I live in or the car that I drive or the vacations that I take, and on and on and on and on. We're taught to identify with these external sometimes status symbols or lack of them, and we think that's who we are, but that's not who we are. Those are the circumstances of our lives, but not the essence of our lives.
The book breaks things down into five categories. You've got dream, nourish, write, publish, and promote. Let's talk about nourish, how important that is. And the first chapter you have in that section is on starting the day. How important is that? I know you go through, I don't necessarily say a ritual, but you go through a process in starting the day. So many of us just hop out of bed and we're at it right away, and maybe it's because we overslept that day. But talk about how important it is to get that strong start.
I think it's great to get a strong start. And by strong start, I mean, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I mean a slow start.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I tend to move very, very fast. So what that means is that my mind moves not at the speed of life, but at the speed of thought. And I'm attacking my to-do list, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. So I find that if I can just give myself a little bit of space, and if I can slow down, then that will set the tone for the rest of my day. I have a little snow globe on my desk, and it has five rocks that are balanced one on top of the next. And It's when you shake the snow globe, you cannot see the rocks, the beautiful balanced rocks inside the snow globe. And our thinking is like that snow. And so when our minds are moving fast like that, we don't have the clarity to make good decisions.
With us on the program is Bella Mahia Carter. Her website, bellamahiacarter.com. I'll give you that and spell it here in a few minutes. Where do you hang your hammock, finding peace of mind while you write, publish, and promote your book? Is the title of her book. It is doing extremely well, receiving rave reviews. Again, information on our website. You can order there as well, and you can find information link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a little bit about the nourishing process for beginning writers, probably for writers who have been doing it for a while. You talk about breaks. You talk about clutter, that type of thing. How important is the writing atmosphere?
You know, I think it's very important. I was actually looking at some old photos on my computer this morning, and I came upon a photo that somebody sent me that was her desk before and after she decided to clear it. And she referred to her office as Mom Central. It was just covered with her kids' stuff. And when she went into her office, she had no desire to write because it was just, you know, basically cluttered with everybody else's stuff. And then, so that's the before photo. And then the after photo, it's this pristine desk that has nothing but her laptop, some flowers in a vase, and a candle. And that's it. And she said, every time I went into my office after I cleared it, I felt inspired.
So it was a friendly workplace. She wanted to go in there and be creative and go through with the writing process.
Right, and it didn't remind her of all the things that she needed to do.
Yes.
It was a clear space, so she could go in there and she felt freedom to explore her imagination.
You talk to so many people and they feel like, okay, I have to devote so much time to writing. I'm going to work really hard. And you bring up something that's very interesting. There's nothing wrong with hard work if it comes from a place of purpose and joy. But once your hard work becomes a proving ground of self-worth, a battlefield is born. Talk about that balance between hard work and productive work.
Yeah, first I just want to congratulate you. You've really done your homework, and I think your questions are fantastic.
Oh,
so
well,
Thank you for coming to this with
You're
such
welcome.
Great questions. Yeah, so I think that I touched on it earlier. You know, it's okay to have dreams and goals, but when you start striving because you're being driven by something inside you that is saying, I'm not good enough, I need to prove myself, then that's not really a happy place to work from. So I think that nourishing oneself also has to do, I think there's kind of three things that go into self-nourishment. One is to slow down, to just not feel like you have to race around all the time. And then that way you can really listen. You can listen to the wisdom inside you and be guided by that rather than by things that are on the outside kind of weighing in on you. And then the second thing is to surrender, which is also really counterintuitive. But there's things that we can't control, and we often cling. You know, we cling to this illusion of control, but there are many things that we don't control. So surrender has to do with opening up and accepting the circumstances that you find yourself in and asking the question, how can I meet this with equanimity and grace? How can I show up in a way that uplifts me, myself, and others? And so I think these are nourishing questions to ask. And then also I think something really nourishing is just celebrating your accomplishments. Even small accomplishments, even just, you know, at the end of the day, you did an hour's worth of writing, or maybe even it was 30 minutes of writing, and just feeling good about that and allowing yourself to just say, hey, congratulations, you did a good job.
You were so relatable, because what aspiring writers go through, what productive writers have been doing it for years go through, is they can look back at your career and see you went through the same thing. You had the same self-doubts that we have. How do you go about liberating writers from the self-defeating thoughts and the self-defeating behaviors?
Oh, I love this question. The way to do it is to help writers understand that they are not their thinking. I have a chapter in my book called Universal Doubt.
Yes.
And what I mean by universal doubt is that we all have doubts. We all have voices in our heads that say, I'm not good enough. Who cares what I have to say? This will never get, I'll never find a publisher, or whatever the, you know, whatever the narrative is, we all have this. It's in psychology, it's called a negativity bias, and it's designed to help us survive. The important thing is to understand that just because we have this kind of thinking, it doesn't mean that what the thinking is telling us is true. It's kind of like, imagine fish in water. They're swimming around, and they really don't have any sense of themselves as being separate from the water. They, you know, the water is just part of their world, and that's how it is for us when we don't understand the nature of thought. So for years, I had that insecure thinking, and I just believed it. And it prevented me from doing the things that I really wanted to do. It prevented me from showing up in the most authentic way possible. So what I try to do is to show people that, okay, you know what, this is not personal. This is not particular to you. We all have this. And if you can just create a little bit of distance between that thinking and yourself or your essence, the real you, then you're going to have a lot more freedom to do what is in your heart to do.
With us on the program is Bella Mahia Carter. Her website is bellamahiacarter.com. Her book is Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. And we'll have more with Bella after we pause briefly for these messages. You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Bella Mahia Carter. She's the author of Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? We're talking about the creative process in writing, finding peace of mind while you write, publish, and promote your book. Situations we're talking about here that are applicable to real life as well. Let's talk about going from writing to publishing. And you say authors both crave and lament publishing. Talk a little bit about that. And you went through that where you thought that you needed to have a traditional publisher to be what you, in your mind, thought was a legitimate author. How do you go about getting something published and finding someone to do it?
Well, the good news is that there are more opportunities to publish today than ever before.
Yes.
That's the good news. But it is still a challenge because on many levels, basically in terms of the publishing landscape, you have traditional publishing, which is when you're given a contract and you're paid for your work and you develop the work and you get a small percentage of the royalties on your work. That's traditional publishing, and that it has definitely been the gold standard in publishing for a long, long time. But then you now have self-publishing and you have hybrid publishing. So hybrid publishing is also partnership publishing. And I think the most important thing is for authors for me personally, I had the dream of traditional publishing for a long, long time. The challenge with traditional publishing is that you have to really have a platform. That's the author platform is just a big deal these days, and you need to come in with an audience. And so I actually go into this in depth in my book, the different reasons to maybe go in different areas. But for me, letting go of that dream of publishing on a traditional press, that was really hard. But when I dug down deep, I realized I She Writes Press, I was connected with She Writes Press through their publisher, Brooke Warner, who was a former acquisitions editor at Seal Press for many years. And I loved her, and I loved what she was doing, and I loved the idea of being able to have creative control over my manuscript. But the main reason why, two reasons why I went with them was, the first thing was, I discovered that the reason why I wanted a traditional publishing contract had to do with me wanting validation from the outside. I wanted a gatekeeper to open the door and say, you are welcome, we are welcoming you, and you are good enough.
Yes,
and
exactly.
What I realized was, like, I didn't need that. And I actually, when it came time to think about publishing, I didn't even shop the book, because years earlier I had shopped it to agents. And this was my memoir now, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, which has since won an award, Body, Mind, Spirit Award, at Benjamin Franklin Book Awards in 2019. But what was interesting was I really, I didn't want, so when I had shopped it to agents, they were saying, well, you need to develop your platform as a raw food expert, because there's a component of that book. I had chronic stomach problems and I didn't know it was related to anxiety. And so the book is divided into three parts, body, mind, and spirit. And in the body section, I talk about my going on this raw food diet to try and cure what was going on with my stomach. And it was great and it was effective, but the response that I got from agents was, you need to build your platform as a raw food expert. But really, that wasn't what the book was about, nor was that what I'm about. I mean, that was just kind of a side piece, and it launched the book, but there was also the mind section and the spirit section, and I am an empowerment coach and a writing teacher, and that's who I am, and that's how I show up in the world.
Yes.
So I didn't want to be pigeonholed to be something that I wasn't. And so I decided I don't need that validation. I'm going to move forward. I believe in myself. I believe in my work, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this my way. And I have not had a moment's regret or doubt about that, about moving in that direction, because it's enabled me to really, my whole world has expanded since then.
Well, it's interesting because you said what you didn't want to shrink into someone else's narrow view of who I should be. And again, it goes back to finding out who you are, who you want to be. And for you, it has opened so many doors. The next step, and you talk about it in your book, Where Do You Hang Your Hammock, is publishing or is promoting. And so many writers identify themselves as introverts. They'd much rather be at a computer writing a story than out talking about it. How difficult is it to overcome that, to realize I need to go out to promote?
Well, it's only difficult when you think about it in terms of in the way you just said.
Yes.
In other words, if you're a sensitive, introverted, quiet writer, which is kind of common, or somebody who would maybe prefer to be alone, it's hard to think about putting yourself out there. So I like to reframe that, and I like to say, this is an opportunity for you to share what's in your heart, your life's work, whatever that may be, and to have conversations with people about it. So I don't talk about it in terms of promotion. I talk about it in terms of sharing and connection. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we all want to feel connected. We all want
Yes.
human contact. We all want to be part. I mean, the truth is, that's who we are, right? We all are connected. We all are part of a whole. And, we make up these stories about, well, this person is different from me. But really, we're more the same than we are different. And so when I help people shift their understanding about what promotion really is, what marketing really is, what publicity really is, it's all about human connection.
With us on the program, and put just a couple minutes left, Bella Mahia Carter. She's the author of Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? You go through in detail how to write a book proposal, just very briefly. Boy, that's the key to everything, isn't it? To getting your work out there and have people read it and enjoy it.
Well, a book proposal is just a sales tool. I shouldn't say just. It's a sales tool.
Yes.
And writers can shop their book proposals directly to small editors. They can't shop their book proposals to any of the big five corporate publishers in this country. But it's a tool. And actually, I wrote book proposals, very comprehensive book proposals for both my memoir and for Where Do You Hang Your Hammock. And even though I ended up choosing not to go that route, it was a valuable tool for me because especially the marketing sections, just thinking about who is my audience, who am I speaking to, why do they care what I have to say, what problems are they dealing with in their lives that my book answers. And it's really good for writers, and especially nonfiction writers, but also fiction writers as well, and even poets as well. It's good to think about, and this is not the reason why you write, but when your book is written, it's certainly a great idea to think about, okay, who would be interested in reading this book? And it can become fun, and it's just as creative a process as writing
yes.
the book itself.
So it's just an extension of the writing. It's still writing. It's just an extension of the writing project. I love that. I love that thinking. This is so interesting. I love the book. Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? And this, you come up with the acronym, what, MYHM. And this is good because you'll be asking yourself, once you read the book, you'll be going through life with your move your hammock moments, which you go through. And it really gets you thinking, doesn't it? Bring some clarity to the situation, get away from that rigid thinking and be more adaptable.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about that acronym, MYHM, which stands for Move Your Hammock Moment, is that I also, when I write it and I look at it, I see it as my,
I love that. I knew you could say that better than I could. I love that. And that's a, you got one more chapter that I want to talk about, that, you know, the 30 seconds here at the end, that I love as well, and it's an extension to that. The obstacle is the teacher. And for so often, if things don't go exactly the way we think they should, we're sort of, we hit a wall. We really don't know what to do. And once again, flexibility is a key, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. The truth is, we don't change when life is swimming along beautifully and everything is hunky-dory. That's not when we change and grow. We change and grow when obstacles are put into our path. I mean, this is a classic hero's journey, right? An obstacle is put in our path, and then we have to decide, well, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to turn around and run away? Are we going to find a way to deal with the obstacle and move forward?
You know, it's interesting. I mentioned acclaimed writing coach and author. Let's talk about the writing coach for a few minutes here as we wrap up the conversation today. How do they get information? I assume go to the website on what you do and how you help people in the groups you get together and the transformation people see in working with you. That has to be a very rewarding part of what you do. When you see that change in people and suddenly you talk about the magic in the room as people are sharing their writing experiences.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that coaching and teaching is just something that I love. It's a God-given gift. I mean, honestly, I had to work for many, many years to develop my skills as a writer, but I never really felt that I had to work at being a teacher and coach. I felt like I just understood what that was, and part of it is just, part of it is just being able to be with people where they are and to see where they need to go and to help them, just to just let them fly. And that's just something that comes naturally that I understand, that I love, and it's been very gratifying.
And you work with both novice and experienced writers, and you'll find all of the information at Bella's website, Bella Mahaya Carter. Mahaya is M-A-H-A-Y-A. I'll have all the information on our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can get all the information on Bella, the workshops, what she's doing, all of her books, including Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. Bella, the time has gone by too quickly. It's really been fun having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Rick, thanks for having me. I love being here with you.
It was fun, and we'll have to do this again. There's so much more. I got 16 more pages of notes here. We have so much more we can talk about. Bella Mahaya Carter, our guest on the program. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.